Hey, welcome back to another episode of Orale Bolt Heights, coming at you from Espacio 1839, and I'm here with one of the owners of Espacio, Nico.
Hello, hello.
What's up?
What's up, what's up?
If we sound muffled, it's not you, we're just wearing masks. To keep it safe.
It sounds like I'm on the 92.3 The Beat.
What is it? Kisses. Yeah. Our little bow connection. But yeah, dude, thank you so much again for making time and for opening up the space. I know on Thursdays, y'all are still just coming into the store when somebody makes an appointment, right?
Yeah. So Thursdays, we reserve it for folks who feel a little more comfortable, you know, being in the shop by themselves, like, you know, and they set up an appointment. So we leave Thursdays open for that because we also understand, you know, that health is all-inclusive, like, you know, it also, you know, includes folks who might have triggers of anxiety or you know, feel better.
Yeah, I'm starting to get like that sometimes when I'm like even just walking down the street, like down Cesar Chavez, yeah. And I see all the rows of people like just shopping and hanging out.
It's just so, you know, you start getting used to being by yourself and you know, secluded, and then all this information, right? We have so much information that you're just like, you know, I want to play it safe, you know. Even if some people might believe that, you know, this is a conspiracy or not, whatever, it's still information in your head, and so you just feel like, you know what, whatever the reason might be, I'm just gonna, you know, walk in the street or something. Yeah,
basically. Okay, well, I have my set of questions that I wanted to talk to you about, but I think what everybody wants to know is, did you or did you not get to meet Bad Bunny when he was filming his Hot Cheetos commercial?
I didn't. Yeah. We didn't even know it was going on. We showed up and we were just, you know, one, you know, it was like, what the hell? There's no barking, you know?
Yeah.
Went a couple of times around the block and we ended up going back home and parking at home because we live so close to the shop, you know, and we were running late and we're just like, we're going to be late anyway. So we parked at home and just walked back to the shop. And we figured, you know, it was, well, somebody told us it was Bad Bunny was recording or filming, and, you know, he was right across the street. And sure enough, you know, he was. But no, we didn't get to meet him.
That was a trip because I came by to the taqueria next door to buy some food at the same time as like everybody started realizing what was going on, and there he is and posting pictures, and by the time I got my burritos and left, like, well, he was gone too, but like people were still showing up.
Yeah, it got a little crazy. Just the amount of folks in the short, you know, the short time of people posting.
Yeah,
and how packed it got. A lot of, you know, it probably would have been worse if he wouldn't, I don't know if he went to go eat or something, but he left for a while.
Okay.
And so people assumed that he had stopped filming. So a lot of people left, you know, and I came out and I seen a stand-in. I was like, he's going to be back. I mean, that guy's pretty much in the same position that he was in, holding a bag. So this is a stand-in, right? Like, and sure enough, you know, he came back, you know, throughout the whole day, even after he had left, you know, in the evening, people were still showing up.
Wow.
looking for him, thinking that he was still going to be around.
Dang, Ollie. So,
yeah.
Shit. That was a trip. So many, yeah, it was just so many people coming out here and be like, ah, it's Bad Bunny. I don't listen to Bad Bunny. I'm not going to say anything.
You know, I think that that's also another thing, right? Like, there's a lot of filming going on in LA or Boyle Heights, for example. But yeah, there's, you know, they're movie stars or TV personalities, and everyone's like, eh, I seen so and so, right? Like, you know, Hollenbeck Park, I seen LL Cool J, and I was all excited. I was like, hey, yo, that's LL. And my son was like, never even heard of LL, you know? But, you know, Bad Bunny is, I guess, you know, just goes to show when, you know, it's somebody that the community really is into or loves, like they show up for them, you know.
Yeah, so, dude. What is it? He got like the title of most streamed songs on Spotify this year.
Yeah,
shit, dude. But, and speaking of, they are filming right now. We don't know what we started talking about that too.
Yeah, they're filming right outside. They're taking up the whole street that's, you know, with cones and their security, and, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where
the whole show
back to normal, right?
Yeah. Well, at least for us, we're just still trying to figure out where to park.
Yeah. You know, and so, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, I think, you know, everything's coming back to normal. I was just telling the tacos next door. I was like, oh, ya van a empezar otra vez, you know, because it's pretty much like, you know, filming twice a month, you know, and.
Oh, shit, I haven't noticed
that. And they'll take up, you know, like I said, like most of the parking, they have their security. So we already know how the community feels intimidated by folks with a badge, whether it's, you know, private security or the actual police, you know, and so. So just the presence of somebody, you know, with a badge, you know, intimidates the community. And so the fact that they have the cones and all this private security, it just, you know, puts all the neighborhood in sort of an edge and not being able to park, not even being able to find parking.
Yeah, so. To go get something to eat, bounce in and out real quickly. Yeah. Do something, Kevin de León.
Yeah. Everybody's expecting Kevin de León to come in and say, you know, save everything, but.
Halfoos is saving his ass.
Yeah, I doubt I doubt much would change, but hey.
Well, we'll talk about Kevin another time. Yeah. But I asked you to come on because the store and y'all as a family for everybody that's part of Espacio and of course like your immediate family have been like through this like everybody else, like this journey that is just like had so many ups and downs. And it really like reflecting on everything that I've seen, and I was taking down notes for the questions that I wanted to ask. I was like, wow, man, like even though it's only been like 8 months, so much happened in that amount of time that it's ridiculous. But I mean, I just wanted to take it back back to the beginning of March when, you know, everything was starting to hit the wall. Places were starting to close, right? Like the stay-at-home orders were, like, starting to come in from, like, the city, the state. And then, yeah, everybody just had to shift. So, I mean, what was it like for y'all? Like, because, I mean, at that point, everything was going on, like, normal store hours, folks coming in, doing their thing. And y'all were in the middle of planning the next Eres Poderosa art show, too.
Yeah, we were getting ready for an annual show that Maida curates along with, you know, different members. Like, for example, I believe the year before that, Kim Miranda, who used to work here at the shop, who's going to school full-time now, helped her curate. The year before that, I forget who it was. They're going to, you know, hold me accountable for forgetting who it was that helped out. But, you know, Maida's been putting the show together. She's been curating and putting the show together for a while already, Eres Poderosa. And we were getting ready for that. Well, they were getting ready for that. I'm not going to get credit for it. for their
helping.
Work, their labor.
You're helping.
And so sort of Espacio was getting ready, you know, to host the Eres Poderosa. And just with everything changing, everything was moving so fast. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for everyone, it just seemed so far away. Like, right in the beginning of the year, you know, even in April, it just seemed like so foreign to us. You know, what was going on in Europe, what was going on in Italy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Italy and Spain were being hit really hard during that time. And it still seemed foreign to us. I mean, we were living our life, you know, regular, like nothing was going on, you know. And so I think once March started and it started getting closer and you started seeing, you know, people catching COVID within the United States, it started like, you know, oh shit, this is
it's here.
It's really happening. And what are we going to do? Are we really prepared? And so I remember the last weekend that we were open, Maya was going to work that weekend and I called her up and I was like, you know what, Maya? I was like, I feel really uncomfortable being at home or doing, you know, prepping, knowing that you're going to be at the shop. So I think that I would feel more comfortable it being me at the store, you know, opening and just, you know, getting a feel for it, like seeing what's going on, you know. And Maya was like really cool about it. She's all like, you know what, I actually don't have an issue with it. You know, I could come in too as well and you know, and help out anyways, like, you know, I still want to help, you know. And so that's how I was that weekend. We, you know, I worked the whole day Saturday. She came in and she worked, you know, Sunday I came in, of course, and make sure that, you know, everything was going good. But we had already decided, like, you know what? This was before the order came in to actually completely shut down. And we just said, like, you know what? I mean, the numbers are starting to climb. You're starting to see, like, you know, here and there that people are getting sick. Mm-hmm. And the information that was out there, you know, like the death toll and all this stuff. And so we're just like, we need to close. And we closed down. You know, that Sunday, I think we even closed a little early. We closed and that was it. You know, I sent a message to everyone that hosts, you know, different podcasts or different radio shows. Yeah. And just letting them know, like, we're going to close. We were thinking 3 months.
I think a lot of us were.
You know, and we were thinking that because that was, you know, that was pretty much what was out there, right? Like, you know, we're going to shut down everything for 3 months and, you know, we'll get back, you know, right to where, you know, where we started. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, okay, 3 months. 3 months. We weren't ready for it financially, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, we were looking at the bigger picture, like, you know, staying alive, being healthy and you know, and being accountable too for the community. I mean, you can't just, you know, say like, we're just going to be open and pase lo que pase. I think that you have to be prepared. We weren't, you know, we weren't fully ready. You know, and so we just decided to close for 3 months.
Before y'all decided to close, did you notice like less people coming in than what would have been a normal week?
Not really. We had actually, I remember that day on Sunday when I was here, the last day, mm-hmm. there was a family that was here from Arizona and I was talking to them. Yeah. So, you know, folks come in from out of town and, you know, they were here from out of town and they were visiting. It was a regular Sunday. I mean, you know, if you've been to Espacio, it's not like a store that gets jam-packed anyways. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Like, I mean, unless there's an event.
Yeah, unless there's an event, you know. But on a regular day, you know, we'll have, you know, some people trickle in and, you know. But I was talking to a family from Arizona. So it seemed like a regular Sunday. And, you know, that was it. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like sales were down. It wasn't like, you know, people were avoiding to come out and shop or to come out and support or to come out and even record a radio show. I'm telling you, everything was going good. And as a matter of fact, we closed 2 weeks before the city mandated all businesses to close. We just felt more comfortable closing, you know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't wait for the city to say like, okay, everyone needs to close. Like, we had made that decision. I believe it was 2 weeks before the city, you know, asked everyone to shut down. We were already closed by then. And it was something that it was hard for us to come, you know, like I said, we weren't financially, you know, ready. But at the same time, we knew we had to do something. And so
you had to take those precautions.
Yeah, we had to take those precautions and stay safe and you know and we did. So we did close a little bit earlier.
So when y'all did close, that's when, you know, I think like everybody else, whether they were prepared for it or not, you started shifting your attention to get everybody to be like, hey, the store isn't just physical. There's also the online store.
Yeah,
you can still buy stuff online.
Yeah, there's the online store, and I think I've said this before on one of the previous podcasts that we recorded is like, I'm computer illiterate, you know, and so our website, you know, if you visit the store, you know that there's so much stuff missing from the website from the actual store, right? Mm. I think one of the biggest things would be books. People are always saying, like, you guys don't sell books online. You promote them, but you don't, you know, I don't see them, you know. And so there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of accessories, like, you know, earrings, jewelry, like all the other stuff that we have that we haven't posted on our website. But we do have T-shirts and we had some label pins. And we were trying to, like, you know, promote the T-shirts. Like, hey, you know what? Like, we have T-shirts online. You could support that way.
Also and, gift cards too.
And then yeah, and then I went online and it, you know, it took me all day to figure out how to like put up gift cards in our on our website. And I was able to do that and people supported. People were like, you know what, we're just gonna buy gift cards now to keep you afloat. And then if you know, whenever you open, we'll know.
Yeah, 3 months.
Yeah, 3 months. You know, we'll see you in 3 months. But so we did that, right? We put up the gift cards and you know, the sales weren't, you know, they're not, you know.
It's not like having the store open.
It's not. It's yeah. The, you know, sales are, you know, one shirt here, like, you know, and one shirt there. And I mean, we love it because a lot of people out of state are, you know, buying and so it's good. And we did start seeing a lot more like local folks buying online and supporting. And we were, you know, to be honest with you, super grateful that people were doing that, were taking the time, you know, to buy either a gift card or a T-shirt, because you don't understand what that did to our family, right?
Yeah.
Like, it helps out a lot. Like, people don't know, me and Maida, which are the, you know, full owners of the shop now, right? We started off as a collective. Now it's just me and Maida who own the store. Maida used to have a daycare. Mm-hmm. She used to run a daycare. Mm-hmm. She closed that down two years ago, I want to say. Going on 3 years now. And that's because she had to have emergency surgery. And so, you know, ever since she closed down the daycare and because she had to, you know, continue taking care of herself after the surgery, you know, the daycare never reopened. And so, you know, everything now has been, you know, like our only source of income has been Espacio,
yeah,
the store.
Yeah.
And little projects I'll get on the side or whatever little projects she gets on the side. And so, yeah, so, you know, it was a little slow. Of course, you know, Maida, being Maida, the go-getter and creative that she is, you know, she was already working on, you know, on plan B, which, you know, she was making gelatinas.
Yeah, we'll get into it. But I did want to bring it back to that where, you know, you close down in March, folks are still like buying things here and there, but then something shift things where you started getting way more attention. But also it kind of, to me from the outside in, it looked like you were doing the same thing as your wife. You were just like, you're at home, the shop is closed, you're obviously stressed and freaking out about the situation. But in that space also, you know, your creativity comes out and you decide to start making face masks. How, like, walk us through that.
Okay, well, you know, a long time ago, we've been doing this for such a very long time. You know, I had invested in sewing machines a long time ago, and the sewing machines have just been there
at
our house.
Yeah, so
you know,
like a towel rack.
So it's, you know, there's, yeah, exactly, right? Like, it's like, you know, you put up all this stuff on top of the sewing machine and you know, toallas and la ropa sucia, right? Anyways, you know, my mom stays with us when she visits LA. She has a house in Guadalajara. You know, she comes and visits, and of course, you know, all her grandkids are over here, we're here, and so she happened to be in LA and she was planning on leaving sort of like in July.
Mm.
So she's been here and she worked in the sewing industry for a very long time. And years ago, before we had Teocintli or before we had Espacio, a lot of people don't know is that, I mean, I've been printing T-shirts for such a long time. I had wholesale accounts in all the malls in Southern California.
Well, did you supply that store, like the Chicano store, Montebello Mall?
I supplied all the stores.
Wait, there was one in Echo Park too, was it?
So in Echo Park, there was Naviolin.
Yeah,
but
on
that
Sunset.
That was Votan. Votan would make his own T-shirts, and he would carry our T-shirts as well. I mean, he's a really good friend.
Oh my God, that was such a long time ago.
It's a long time. He actually used to print some of his shirts in our garage when we had
because you had the setup.
Yeah, we had the setup. And I would supply, like, there was, for example, Stonewood Mall, Lakewood Mall, Santa Ana Mall, Puente Hills, West Covina, Montebello.
Dude, you were out there just putting all this, like, the Chicano Latinx imagery out there. Because now, if you really wanted to find that stuff, outside of, like, telling somebody to go to Espacio, if you're looking for something that's older, the fashion district, the Callejones, this is your best bet to find that bootleg stuff.
Okay, well, there's a reason why we we went under. You know,
they just took your designs and ran with them.
At one point, I remember I had family come in from Mexico, and, you know, they're like, quiero ir a los Callejones, so we go to the Callejones.
Yeah.
And I seen they had, like, 11 designs of mine. In the Callejones.
It's like 2 for $10,
rock bottom prices. Well, there's this whole story. I think that this would be a whole nother show of what happened to that shirt industry, because so what happened was we were wholesaling like crazy, right?
Yeah.
And so we would, at that time I had invested into sewing machines because I was like, I eventually want to do what, you know, other companies do, like, you know, cut and sew, print on them before we sew them, and so it's just they look completely different. You know, if I want to do a sleeve a different color, then I could do a sleeve a different color, or, you
oh,
know,
wow,
things like
you
that.
You want everything in-house production.
And you know, my mom worked in the sewing industry for over 20 years. She was on 7th and Los Angeles. Crazy thing is, when I was a kid and I went to work with her on Saturday, and there was this big commotion outside, like right on the street, turns out they were filming that YouTube video that was on the roof of a building in downtown.
The Pac-Man one? No.
No, it was U2 was
singing. Oh, U2.
U2, the band. Yes, the band, U2.
I keep like U2.
No, U2, back in the day.
The
when
streets U2, have no name. The music streets have video. No name.
It was
yeah.
right on the corner. My mom worked on the what was it, like the fourth floor of a sewing company. And you could see, you know, them recording, of course, back this was years ago.
That's actually a good video.
It is. So I bought the sewing machines, and my mom would, you know, do sewing for us. Back then it was crazy because we had, you know, all these malls in Southern California. My brother would be printing, I would be designing, Maida would be doing, you know, like the paperwork, my nephew would be doing deliveries.
Team effort.
Yeah, it was like we had an actual, like, you know, little company going.
Dude, I did not know that. Yeah. I used to see those shirts all the time.
Yeah, so there was, you know, there was a couple of lines that I had, like the funny ones. I had the political ones. I had, you know, I was just designing, and, you know, my nephew was delivering. My brother was printing, you know, my mom was sewing, like, you know, putting the tags and stuff. And anyway, so those sewing machines were there. Right, we're bringing it back to the whole pandemic, because I could get lost in how
circle back
and how the Callejones affected us, right? But there's a whole story behind that. But you know, we circle back. We had the sewing machines, and to be honest with you, I felt defeated in the beginning of the pandemic. Mm. I lost all creativity in the beginning. I didn't want to do nothing. I didn't even want to clean our yard.
It was really depressing, man.
You know, I wasn't expecting, you know, that sudden just, you know, stop, you know. And I think now I realize that what happened to me is that you stay so busy.
Mm.
And you be, you know, it's sort of like your therapy to be busy so you don't focus on your real issues. On what's affecting you.
You can ignore your problems.
You ignore your problems. And when everything stopped and I had no other excuses than to actually look within, I started realizing that there was issues that I, you know, that I had internally that I hadn't. And so, you know, March, you know, like towards the end of March, I started feeling all these things, right? And then I started looking at the fact that I started doing our bills, and I was just like, shit. You know, okay, I could afford to pay the rent for the shop right now. We could afford 1 month of the mortgage. You know, what then? And so reality started kicking in. You know, realizing that, you know, the elected officials weren't going to do what they should have, right? Like, no, you know.
Still aren't.
Yeah, they still aren't. None of them are, right? And my mom, you know, her brothers and her sisters that are here, they work in warehouses. And so my mom's all like, you know what? I'm going to cut up some fabric that we have left, because we, you know, she used to also sew bibs and stuff like that for the store. She's like, I'm going to cut some of that fabric and make masks for your aunts and your uncles who are still having to go, you know, to work. Now, back then, there was nothing, right? Like, all the stores ran out of the masks. They ran out of masks, they ran out of gloves.
The N95s.
Yeah, the N95 disposable, all that stuff. Everything was gone back then. I mean, now I think we take it for granted. It's like you have masks in every corner, right?
But same with the hand sanitizer.
Yeah, the hand sanitizer. There was nothing. So my mom's all like, I'm going to make some masks out of fabric so your tios and your tias could have, and you know, they're working in the warehouse. And so Maida's all like, well, you know what? Let's sew some for my family too. So they were sewing. You know, and even for ourselves, if we have to go to the market or whatever.
Yeah.
And my mom turns around and she's like, mira, te voy a cortar it. Like, I'm going to cut this one and give you this one. And, and you know, me being, you know, I was like, no me gusta. You know, let me go and get you a t-shirt that I have, like an old t-shirt, and I'll cut it up. And so I cut up the t-shirt, you know, because we used to cut t-shirts or fabric and stuff like that, and we would make t-shirts, like one-of-a-kind stuff. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. And I was like trying to be all creative, and I was like, for now, just do this one with one of the images from one of our t-shirts.
Yeah.
Which was the like Aztec calendar and calavera that I had drew years ago for a show at Tafo Graphics, and it's never stopped selling. It's crazy. That's another story. There's another story that could be told.
It's
there.
Very, but, like, if you've seen that image, you know which image he's talking
about.
Because it's been
somebody told me that it came out on one of the Jackass movies. One of the guys was wearing it.
Probably. Yeah.
And but anyways, I took that t-shirt and I cut it up in the shape of a mask, and I told my mom, I was like, I want the mask to look like this. And okay, you know, so I cut it up for her. She sewed it. I took, you know, I rocked it. And I just, you know, I took a selfie and put it on my Instagram.
I think we all did. I did that at one point in the beginning. It was like, look at me wearing my mask.
Yeah, you know, I'm wearing my mask. And I started getting all these DMs like, yo, where did you get that mask? Like, yo, where did you get that mask?
I think I was probably one of those.
And you know, pinche foquito, you know, se prendió el foquito. And I was like, you know what?
Light bulb idea.
Yeah, right, I was there. Like, oh. I'm going to, you know, maybe I could sell some. But I'm going to be honest with you. I felt really uncomfortable. Like, you know, here we are in the middle of a pandemic, and I didn't want to seem insensitive and be like, I'm just going to fucking sell these, you know? And I was like, I don't know. I think
most people wouldn't even think about that. It's like, what, money opportunity? Boom.
For us, it was one of those things, right? And we had already, you know, we the mask that we did have, like we had disposable mask in our emergency pack, because we do have, like, you know, that we are prepared for like
an earthquake
or whatever. We have, you know, we have this stash, and I had two boxes of masks. Because we started sewing them, we ended up donating masks and a bunch of other stuff that we have to the local shelter down the street.
Proyecto Pastoral.
Proyecto Pastoral. Yeah. And so in a way, I kind of felt like, you know, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable selling the masks. And my mom's all like, ¿por qué no? Like, you know, we're busting our ass. Like, you know, nosotros estamos cosiendo y quien... Si regalamos todas las máscaras, you know, ¿qué vamos a comer nosotros? And so I was just like, you know what? Okay. I was like, I'm going to put a couple of masks on our website. Now, once this goes back to, like, me not understanding how, you know, like, I'm computer illiterate. So I told her, I was like, okay, we could probably, I looked, I had plain t-shirts, and I was like, I could probably print on these t-shirts, cut them up. And make, you know, we could probably do a couple masks.
Because your mom gave you the master template to make more masks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, like, I kind of tweaked the template that she had so that it could, like, it could fit the way that I had it printed.
Gotcha.
And so, of course, she made it work. Like, she was like, okay, the first one didn't work. And she's like, no, you need to do this. And so we worked, you know. And I was like, okay, I'm going to upload them. I think I have enough, you know, response of people being interested in these masks.
This is all still in March.
This was still in March. Yeah. There was nothing anywhere. Okay. And so I think it was 3 days before that, I had an anxiety attack. Mm-hmm. Just because I was doing the bills and I was doing all that stuff. And I want to think it was an anxiety attack and not a heart attack.
The
thing was that I told Maida, I was like, I think you need to call the ambulance. Like, I was trying to wait it out. Shit. I was like really bad. And I went outside of the front yard and I was like, you know what?
I need some air.
I think you need to call the ambulance. And Maida's all like, that's the worst place for you to be right now is in the ER, or like for me to call the ambulance, because that's what, you know, by then the whole like, you know, pandemic had already hit the United States, like all this shit, right? And I was like, okay. And so I remember just laying down, and we have a little like, you know, patch of grass in our front yard. And I just mm-hmm. remember laying down, and she was there, and I was like drinking water, and like, you know, this was like 3 days before that. Like I was like I'm telling you, like I felt, you know, defeated, and then that whole thing happened, and it's crazy because that's 2 days later is when I posted the picture of the mask, and people hit me up. I told my mom, I was like, I'm going to put a couple. I think we could, you know, maybe 20, 25. So I post up the picture on our website, and I put now available on Espacio.
Yeah, on Instagram, yeah.
And, you know, and that was it. You know, we went about our day. You know, my mom was still sewing some.
Was it still that one design?
It was just the one design. And it's crazy because if you go to the website, that one first mask still says black mask. Like, it doesn't even have a name. Like, it doesn't have a name. It just says black mask. Because that's what I put. I just put black mask. That was it. Went about our day. By then, I think I was already, like, I did start, you know, working in the front yard a little bit. And I posted around noon. And at 9 p.m., I told my mom, I'm going to go check how many, you know, we sold. You know, that way, you know, we know if we have to, you know, make a couple tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I opened the fucking website. And I was just like, oh, my God. We had sold 100 masks.
Wow. You didn't put it.
I didn't put a fucking number. Like, that's what I'm telling you. Like, I just, oh, fucking black mask. I didn't think, you know, I was like, okay, we'll
you're
sell.
Like, I have 20. You but know, you yeah. didn't tell the website and only sell 20.
I didn't put like that. I was only able to, you know, probably knock out 20. And I'm just like, what the fuck? And so I go, and like the first thing is like, you know, I'm in panic mode trying to like turn off. Because as I'm trying to like, you know, put a number like sold out on the website, another sale came in. I'm just like, no, what? Like, you know, it was one of those moments where you want to make a sale. And then after, you're just like, no, wait, hold on. Like, and so we ended up stopping it. Like, I think it was 101 masks. And then I started freaking out because I was like, how the fuck am I going to make these masks if everything is closed? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Where am I going to get the fabric from? Where am I going to get the bias? Because, like, the bias is the stuff that comes around, like, you know, all this stuff. And that was a whole nother mission. You know, I ended up calling this lady we used to buy fabric from, and she's like, look, we're completely closed, but I'm going to go to the warehouse.
Oh.
And I got some orders that I gotta fulfill, and I'll check for you, but let me know what you need now. So I was like, okay.
So yeah, they're gonna be there. Might as well get everything.
Yeah, I was so you know, we got bias. I even got extra colors that I haven't even used yet. But I was just like, you never know.
Yeah,
it's better to have than, you know. So we started scraping whatever little money we did have to buy the fabric, you know. And the thing was that she's all like, I don't have any fabric. I don't have any like that's what I don't have is like the actual roll of t-shirt fabric. She's all like, I think it was four dozens of black t-shirts. She's like, I have four dozens of black t-shirts.
Oh, all right.
And I was like, you know what? Just sell me those t-shirts and I'll cut them up. You know, I'll print on them. I'll print the mask on them and then I'll cut them up and make the masks. Now I need to, you know, fill these orders in. Like, now these people paid, to get these orders in. And so I started looking at like this little stash that I had, and I had like a gold color. I had a couple of dozens of those. I had t-shirts, plain t-shirts that I had not printed. And I was like, maybe if I do another design, you know? And so that's how it got started. Like, you know, no one else had any masks available. And a lot of the people that sell, like, the name brands and all that stuff, they get their stuff done in China.
Yeah, everybody outsources.
You know, everybody outsources, right? Either in China or they're outsourcing to cut and sew companies, right? Like, but everyone was laid off.
Everything was closed.
Everything was closed. And so we had masks readily available because we had everything. And, you know, we had the sewing machines. I even posted these huge ass scissors that I had, like, you know, my hands were hurting. Yeah, but just cut. Yeah, like, I mean, they're like 9 inches, right? The cutting, the,
like some
the,
Get Out scissors.
Yeah, yeah. It was,
wait, not Get Out, us, the other one.
But you know, these big old scissors. I posted a picture of those big as scissors. And anyways, we were able to turn around because everything was done in house. You know, the product was quick. We were the only ones that had masks readily available to ship, you know? And so we started seeing more of that in the corner, like, you know, like the señoras selling masks like a week after, right? And the corners. And we, I think we even had this conversation where my mom worked for years, getting paid the piece price. They call it piece price.
And so in the garment industry.
In the garment industry, you know, you get paid 15 cents for sewing things, you know. And so you could sew like 100 masks and only get paid 15 cents per mask, right? And so, or underwears or t-shirts or anything, right? And so they call it, you know, it's piece price. And it's really fucked up because, you know, he's saying, like, in order for you to get paid more, you have to do more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and then they turn around and they sell these at a ridiculous price. And so for us was like, okay, you know, just the difficulty of having to get all the supplies and everything was a little more expensive. Like the bias was more expensive. The fabric that we did buy was more expensive because everything was closed. You know, and so
that supply and demand dynamics.
Yeah. And it's crazy because each design that we posted, like I would post like, okay, I would count and I would say, okay, I estimate we're going to be able to get out 60 masks out of these couple t-shirts that I have.
Okay. So you were doing the math.
So we were doing the math and then I figured out, okay, I'm going to only put this on our website. And so we would post up a mask and be like, you know what, it's available on Saturday.
Yeah, dude, this turned into like a Supreme drop.
It did. We had drop dates, you know, which we never had.
I was like, on one of those Saturdays, I was like, oh, let me get myself a mask, let me get the homies a mask and send it out to them.
It was crazy because then I had people messaging me like, yo, you sold out and I really want one. And I was like, I'm sorry, I can't help. Like, you know, I'm not trying to be an a-hole, but I don't have, you know, any more to make. You know, I mean, and I was using every, you know, every piece of, like, for example, I would take a t-shirt and I would cut it up. I would even use the sleeves of the t-shirts, like fold out the sleeves, you know, and print on the sleeve to make the masks.
So you're just taking the whole shirt apart.
I was taking the whole shirt apart.
And like trying to make use of everything.
Trying to fit as many masks as I could within that t-shirt.
And you know what I loved, especially in that first batch of masks y'all were making, is number one, it's washable, reusable, mm-hmm. you know. It also didn't have the over-the-ear like hooks. I don't know.
They probably
have
ear loop.
The ear loop. Because I think that's one of the most annoying things about the mask is if you have the loop, it causes, you know, discomfort behind your ears. So with that first batch, you had the tie it up like a nurse, which is really cool. I really like that on top of the design too. But you also made the mask in a way where it's a layered way. So you can put filters in between.
Because the information out there, you know, there wasn't that much information, but the information out there was like, you know, try to have a filter, you know, two layers of fabric, you know. I think now they're saying that just the two layers of fabric is good. You don't necessarily have to have a filter. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's why that those first batch. And the other thing is that because where we get everything done, like, for example, like the ear loop masks,
yeah,
it's T-shirt material, but you got to take it somewhere. And they cut it up for you.
Oh, it's a special machine. Yeah. Well,
it's a special machine where they cut it up for you in small little rolls, and it's called a bias.
A bias.
And then you have to have a certain leg on the sewing machine to be able to sew it together and do the whole ear loop thing. While the places where they would do that were closed. So the bias that we were using was a different bias, and that's why we had to tie it up in the back because we couldn't do the whole loop. The whole ear loop at that moment. And as soon as we were able to, like, you know, get that leg that you needed to create the ear loop, we started doing ear loop mask and the tie mask. And, you know, sales have, of course, declined in the mask because there's so many more options now.
Yeah, everybody's making one.
Everybody has masks now.
I'm pretty sure Supreme probably has masks.
But, but I'm going to be like, there was moments those first 3 weeks where even my kids were like, what's going on? Because me, Mayra, and my mom, because we knew the financial situation we were in.
Yeah.
When we would sell out, or when we would see the computer, like, sale, like, when we would, like, because we would do drops, I think we're, like, at 10 in the morning on mm-hmm. Saturday, and we would sit there in front of the computer and just see the sales, we were all crying. We were crying because we knew that this was another month that we could, you know,
Pay the bills.
That we could eat, that we could, you know what I'm saying?
But it's also the community coming through.
It was like a community coming through, and it was those moments where we're crying. My kids, like, they were like, what are you guys crying? And I was like, fool, this is what happened. And they're just like, eh. You know, to them, I was like, eh. You know, and to be honest with you, that was one of those things where it was just, you know, where we felt the love. We felt the love with people buying the gift cards. We felt the love with people, you know, buying the T-shirts, and we felt the love with people, you know, investing in the mask at that moment. And we still feel the love, you know. I mean, even people coming through, like Jessica Salgado, you know, who reached out, and she's all like, you know, I want to donate 1 month's rent. And I was like, no. And she's like, she's talking to my, she's like, yes, I'm going to donate a month's rent. And then Maida's like, we love you. You don't have to, you know, like, we're trying. And she's all like, no, but I want to. And, you know, she talked to Maida for a while and, like, letting her know how much the space meant to her. And, you know, we accepted it. We're not that type where we're just, like, you know, out there, like, you know, trying to, like, have people donate or, yeah,
you know, it's common. I mean, these last couple of months to see so many folks have GoFundMes for, like, to pay their staff.
Yeah.
Folks coming together and even starting, like, whole new organizations just to help other people. Yeah.
And so for us was like, you know, that was another moment where, like, you know, it was very touching, you know, it was very emotional. And, you know, she wasn't the only one. El Oms did, you know, the same thing. He made a sale with his artwork, and he donated the funds. Chicano Batman got hit up by a national organization who was, you know, doing a benefit show for like small shops, small mom and pop shops, and highlighting different stores. And they were asked to perform. And when they got asked to perform, they're like, hey, if you know anybody that, you know, you would like to recommend, and they're like, yo, Espacio. And they, you know, they talked to them. They told them what, like, Espacio meant to Chicano Batman. And they were like, oh, okay. They looked into it. They hit us up. And they donated a month, like, through that organization.
Hell yeah.
And so out of the 7 months that we were closed, 3 months were actually paid by community artists and I don't want to say organization because it's the Boyle Heights Bridge Runners, which is a collective. So it's not an organization, but it's a collective. So the Boyle Heights Bridge Runners, like, also they sold the label pin that they had for their anniversary, and they donated the funds, you know. So all in all, it was like, you know, three months paid by you know, that's
fucking amazing,
by folks. And and so, you know, we are aware that we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for community. You know, I don't think we'd be able to survive. We were closed for 7 months to be able to pay.
Straight, 7 months straight.
7 months straight to be able to pay the overhead of Espacio for 7 months without, you know, looking into like just we had to close.
I want to ask, but it sounds like a fucking dickish question. But at any point did the landlord be like, let me drop like a discount or, you know what, try to help y'all or something?
The landlord, he would check in on us. But at the same time, for me, understanding what's happening within the community, I guess it's kind of back to like the whole, like, you know, I don't know what it is of asking. Like, I'd rather just work.
It's a pride thing. It's a culture thing.
I think it might, you know, maybe it is a pride thing. I didn't want to say it. You know what I'm saying? But one of those things where I just, like, as a last resort, maybe, you know what I'm saying? But I also know that we, you know, we have to continue occupying space, especially with what's going on. And I think towards the end of the, like, we were closed for 7 months. I remember somewhere around the 6 month, 5th month. I don't remember exactly what date.
It'll probably be summer, July, August.
We got hit up. I got hit up by a reporter from the Washington Post.
I remember that because I was trying to connect you with them too.
Okay, yeah. So that's, you know, she's, you know, when we finally connected, she's like, you know, a couple of people asked me to talk to you, you know, in regard, like, especially in regards to, like, you know, the gentrification. And so right away I started just making the connections. I was like, look, in the crash of 2008, this community lost a lot of spaces that we'll never be able to get back, you know. And that was because not only spaces in terms of storefronts and centers that serve the community, but also a lot of residents who lost their homes due to shady, you know, predatory loans that were out and about back then. And so in 2008 was a financial crash. I was like, I feel that this situation, because the elected officials haven't stepped up, it's going to be much worse. So I know that we're going through a global pandemic where everyone, you know, everyone's health is at risk at the moment. But after this, our community is going to go through some crazy change where we're going to, you know, we're going to feel the brunt of it as a working class community. And so we know and understand that for us is like, you know, we have to occupy space. We know we have to, you know, continue fighting for the local residents and all that stuff. And so, so at the same time, it's like, that's why for it was important to, like, you know what, save our home, but also save our source of income that also serves, you know, like the community. Like, because we've always been about that, you know, we've always been about holding ourselves accountable, being responsible with this little space that we have.
And even before Espacio, like you mentioned, the previous shop y'all had,
Teocintli was the same thing. We had free art workshops. We had, you know, the walls, you know, were used as a gallery space. We had, you know, different artists coming in and doing work, you know, the workshops. I think I said that already. But,
we're getting the community in the door. Not just to get folks to be like, yeah, buy our stuff, support local small business, which is important, but turning the space into a community space. Because, like, we started talking in the beginning, you had an amazing show that was getting ready to go, but then had to be postponed.
Yeah.
And now, like, that the store is opened up, y'all are picking up where you left off with having community-based art shows. You had, what, 4 amazing artists last weekend, just hanging out in front of the store, talking to folks, you know.
And, you know, and just trying to do things different, right? We have a limit capacity within the store. We only allow 5 people to come in the store at a time. And so even the art shows cannot be like a opening reception type thing.
No.
Where, like, you know, los que quepan, nah. It's about being responsible. And it's not like opening from this hour to this hour. It's just there's art on the wall. You're welcome to come in and see it. It's new art by local artists, you know, but we're only allowing 5 people in at a time, you know. And so it's crazy because when you were talking about like, oh, you know, you having this, it's not just about sales, about you having the store. It clicked. An image was like, yeah, that's kind of like our GoFundMe, right? When you do a GoFundMe page, you have incentives, right? Like, hey, if you donate, you know, $5, you get a sticker. If you donate this, you get a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I guess that's what the store is already, you know, by you supporting, by you buying product from the store, it allows us to remain open and to continue doing what we've already been doing. One is to, of course, to be self-sustainable, you know, as artists and creatives. But then also we hold ourselves accountable and open up the space to community.
Dude, I mean, hands down, without question, if it wasn't for you for keeping the space open for so long, going on 8 years now, for opening it up to folks to come in and be part of this work and to provide a space where you're not charging them, just flat out, I probably wouldn't be doing this podcast. Because, I mean... we've talked about it. I've been doing this 3 years now, and I've always had that idea. I always have ideas like this for doing community shows and, like, doing programming. And at one point, you know, we were talking to Javi, who's been on the show before. He's an amazing actor. And we were, like, all just shitting the shit of, like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if, like, somebody was doing performing plays and stuff, like, on the Metro and all this stuff like that. So I was like, yeah, dude, if it wasn't for Espacio and for, like, what y'all have been doing, for sure, this podcast wouldn't be around.
And, you know, and for us, we just see it like we provide a space, right? Like, it's, you know, I think Marcos is one who, like, worded it, whereas, like, you know, the fundamental theory of an organ. I don't know if he, but that's who I heard, right? that's who I'm quoting would be Marcos.
Paraphrasing.
Somebody probably said it before him, or I don't know. I'm not, you know, but... he was like, you know, the fundamental theory of an organizer is to facilitate space. And during that conversation, we were like, you know, this is why, like, it's false leaders hurt our movement, you know, because really as organizers, we should just be facilitating space, not looking to be leading anyone.
Or getting in front of the camera, yeah, and so the mic.
And so for us, like, that has always been like that resonated with me. And I'm just like, you know, so for you to say that to me is like, no, we just provided the space, bro. Like, you've built, like, your show is 100% you, and, you know, and I get what you're saying, but at the same time, it just goes to show that our community, if it was, I mean, it's rich in so many other things. And I've also said this before, you know, we may be broke financially, but our wealth ain't monetary.
Yep.
Right? We are wealthy with ideas, with creativity, you know, in
history, culture, you know, all tradition, the, you know,
music, food.
Well, that's why, like, everybody wants to come in here,
yeah,
right?
You know? But we're broke financially, you know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, we need that financial freedom to be creative, you know, because if not, then we just, you know, we're just working to survive.
Or working to ignore our problems.
Or to ignore our problems, like I was, you know what I'm saying? But this is why it's super important. Like, I mean, I see folks that, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I tried to do that and it didn't work. So then I did this. And then I was like, fuck, you know, we don't have that. We can't afford to, like, you know, invest in an idea and then for it not to work.
Yeah. I think another good example is Andy Soch with Latinx Plants, mm-hmm. Right? You know, they started doing their own thing in the same way. Like, it built up momentum and now they have two stores.
Yeah. And it's, you know, there's a need for that within our community, you know, and people want to support that, but a lot of times is we don't have the financial means to be able to do those things. And so the hardest thing is just to start it, like, just to, like, you know, keep it going, right? You've been going with your podcast and we've been completely closed, so you know what I'm saying? Like the hard thing for you was to get started. I think now you're going to be unstoppable, like, and you have been. You've been recording without, you know, even having Espacio as a studio. You've been portable, like, you went, you know, you went mobile. So it's really just getting people started. It's really just, you know, getting that first foot going.
Yeah.
And then just watching, you know, people
that encouragement, like, yeah, look, here's the space, grow into it, learn from it, and then make it your own.
Yeah. And so, you know, and I think having that conversation even with El Oms, right? El Oms felt like, you know, and I was having a conversation with him, and I was like, you know, so grateful for him donating. He's like, yo, Nico, he's like, I'm going to be honest with you. He's like, I had never had an art show. And you sort of like pushed me to having that art show at Espacio. So Espacio was my first art show I ever had. And I feel like that opened the doors to do, like, you know, what he's done. And I'm just like, not fool you. What got you that work is you. You're like, your creativity, like, is his work. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't do nothing but provide a space. And that just goes to show how much spaces are needed within our community, you know? And so we get it. We know that if we provide space, it'll create, you know, ideas in folks to continue building off of what, you know, what they did here initially. But that could happen anywhere else if we had more spaces.
Yeah. I mean, and it's sad to say, because I can't think of any spaces in the neighborhood doing the same thing outside of you, Andy, with like their shop, Latins with Plants, to a certain extent, Self Help Graphics. But, you know, they're more established. They have their own set programming and, you know, priorities that they have to take care of. And yeah, dude, I mean, we've seen so many spaces come through over the years, and now it's now that I'm older, I'm like, man, it would be nice to have those spaces again, even though they weren't perfect.
Yeah. the thing is, like, I also, you know, feel that, you know, like I said, I don't know if it was the market crashing, you know, or the fact that the community is continuing to change, that, you know, the rents get too expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Some spaces might be problematic, and that's why they ended up closing, you know. But we do need more spaces, right? We do need these things. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I mean, this is a brick and mortar space, but the conclusion that we came with after Teocintli closed down is, I was having a conversation with somebody, and they were like, look, if you go to a rural place in Mexico, there's classes under a tree. It's like, so you don't actually need a space to provide a, you know, to provide, like, you know, an education or this and that. It's just, you know, reclaiming what's already there. And so I remember when we closed down Teocintli, which was, you know, the project that we had going over there on 4th and Mott, we felt, you know, we felt defeated. We felt like we had, you know, failed in a way. You know, we weren't looking at the whole economy had, you know, failed in 2008. But we were like, man, we were doing all this stuff and we failed. We ended up, we eventually ended up, after having that conversation, I was like, you know what? We need to reclaim public space. And I remember we organized Whose Street's Our Street on the corner of Chavez. You were there. You know, we were like, hey, just show up to the corner of Cesar Chavez. You know, we'll do some spoken word. If you have an instrument, come and play. If you have artwork, come and hang it. Let's build community. And a bunch of people showed up, shared poetry right there in front of Quintaco.
Yeah.
There was artwork on the poles down the street. Kids drew with chalk on the floor. There was jaranas playing. It was beautiful. You know, then later on, we started organizing the drum circle at Hollenbeck Park.
Yep.
You know, and students from Roosevelt started showing up, and we started bringing in drums and just having this beautiful moment. So we don't actually need to tie ourselves down to a brick and mortar space. I think it's just, you know, even reclaiming space, reclaiming that public space to do those things.
The Bridge Runners.
Bridge Runners is another thing, right? Like, Gomez is all like, yo, like, I've been wanting to do this. And I was like, bro, if you do it, I'm going to run. I'm going to be the first one there. And, Gomez was like, okay, I'm going to figure out a route. You know, he figured out a route that had, like, the less amount of lights. You know, so it was like,
yeah, to be safe.
You know, he crossed two bridges, and then the name, he came up with the name, right? The Bridge Runners, like Boyle Heights Bridge Runners, and that was it. You know, so it's about reclaiming public space and just, you know, moving forward with those ideas, and yeah. So You know, if anyone's in, out there listening, like, you know, you don't actually need to have a space. You
no.
know,
so just make it happen.
Make it happen, you know, and we'll be there.
To support.
Yeah, to support.
So, wait, you brought this up a little bit earlier about what Myra was doing while, you know, y'all were making masks and all this stuff was happening. So tell folks about gelatina.
So
the gelatina, the jello that was being made in the back.
So Myra was, you know, I mean,
Wait, what is the gelatina, the name?
So I'll tell you the name right now. But, you know, Myra, man, she gets down cooking. She loves cooking. And, you know, she loves feeding folks. And she loves, like, you know, I think the people that know us, you know, who have, you know, broke bread with us and know, like, you know, Myra's cooking, they, you know, they'd be like, okay, yeah, she does know how to cook. she started doing gelatinas. And, you know, giving them out to friends and family and...
Gelatinas being jello.
Yeah, jello, right? Gelatinas. And you know, just, you know, her just talking about, like, you know, she's like, I know people like cake, but I like gelatinas because it brings back memories. Like, yeah. You know, growing up, the parties, like all that stuff. And
it's a very, to me, in my understanding, it's a very Mexican thing.
And so, you know, playing around, like we were messing around, I was like, you know, oh, gelatinex. and I think we were having a conversation with Mala and with Locatora Radio, and I said the gelatinex, and she's like, oh my god, that's a clever name, you should use it. And so Maida was like, no, she wasn't, you know, and I was like, I think you should. I think it's, you know, it's a play on word. You know, it's like, you know, it's clever, like
very timely.
And she's like, you know what? Okay. And so I did a little logo. She created an Instagram page, and this was like all before the pandemic, like, you know, and so she was, you know, she started selling gelatinas on, you know, on the internet, yeah. Like on Instagram.
It's like made to order, like I'm having a birthday party, can you do this design?
And I mean, she's, you know, she was already messing with flavors. Like she was doing the mazapan gelatina, you know, the, she does like a choco flan.
I love choco flan.
The choco flan, but then she also does another one with, instead of it being the choco on the bottom, it's mazapan flavored bread with the flan on top, and that one's delicious.
That's like some like British baking on Bake Off shit.
Yeah, right, she's doing some really like doing some really good stuff, right?
Which,
yeah.
Which I since the pandemic hit, I've been watching a lot of those food competition shows, dude. Hands down, from the Food Network to like British Bake Off. Little to no fucking Latinx representation in those shows, except when some white dude decides, oh, I went to Mexico once, let me like put mango in this and make it Mexican. I was like, bro, get a señora in there. Yeah. And like they'll be like fucking knocking your shoes off with mole and all this other stuff.
Yeah. And so, you know, she's done like the mango chamoy gelatina, you know, like, I mean, there's all kinds of flavors. And so she started doing that. So when the pandemic hit, you know, and we started doing the mask, the gelatinas were already taking off because everyone had to stay home.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people were doing, you know, ordering food, and people started, you know, ordering the gelatinas from her. And she had taken, I think the busiest she had been was last December.
2019.
Yeah, 2019, last December. And so, you know, she was selling stuff here and there throughout the year, but once the pandemic hit, her sales, like, you know, started going up.
Yeah.
And so she's been doing that. She got a couple of write-ups.
Elias, yeah, one of them.
Yeah, Elias.
I want to say for sure, probably meet the word of him.
Yeah, you know, I think those was just cut and paste. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So
I know they copied and pasted my story.
Any article that's out there, MeToo redid it and just put their fucking name on it. But MeToo did, you know, like they put it out there twice, you know.
Did she get hit up to be like, hey, can you send this to like Boston or some shit like that?
I don't know if she has. To be honest with you, I, you know, we like get, you know, focused in what we're doing, that when we hang out, like, you know, like we take our time, like, hey, let's go hiking, let's go do this.
That's
like,
the last thing you're gonna
talk about. Yeah, the last thing we talk about is, like, you know, I mean, we'll bring up, like, a random, like, oh, my God, did you see, you know.
Like, somebody asked me to make a butt-shaped gelatina.
But it's funny because I'll be next to her when people, you know, hit her up and they'll be like, I think the last one was, like, they wanted a Super Mario gelatina.
Oh, that's very specific.
Yeah, and Maida's all like, I don't, you know, she doesn't do that. She doesn't do the, you know.
It's like very intricate designing.
But that's very like Mexicano gelatina. Like yeah. if you look up like, you know, Super Mario gelatina, there's a bunch of them because they actually do them in Mexico. Like they'll do like shit that's like looks like a wedding cake and it's all gelatina. It's crazy.
Oh man.
You know, but, you know, gelatinas, yeah, or whatever. And what Maida's doing is, like, she's mixing it up, you know, more.
More about the flavors rather than, like, the aesthetics.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though the aesthetics, she's got some cool molds that.
I saw one for Sugar Skull. Sugar Skull.
Oh, yeah. I think that's like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, she'll do a Sugar Skull, but not, you know, Super Mario. but you know, she has these other molds with it. They look really nice. She has the arroz con leche is, you know, really good as well. But ooh, yeah, so right she now. Started, you know, she pivoted. She pivoted and started doing that. And I think that's also for us as we pivoted with the mask and we started creating the mask that allowed us to be able to survive, you know, those 7 months, that we were closed, you know, and even while we were closed, I mean, you know, we have two teenagers, my son was like, you know, his skateboard was already off, you know, he skates, you know, so doing all the kick flips and all, you know, all that stuff. The board was, you know, it was already gone. And I told him, I said, well, I could just order you one online. He's like, no, because I want to see it. You know, sometimes, you know, if you buy it online, like it might be a little warped.
It's different
like
sizing and yeah, a lot of details.
I mean, the sizing, like he knows what size he wants, but he's all like, if you buy it online, sometimes they'll send you one that's warped. So if I go, I want to see if it's warped or not.
The nearest skate shop is the one in Little Tokyo. That's the first one I can think of.
Yeah, well, that was the one that we went to.
Down Factory. That place has been for years. Even when I was skating.
Yeah. I just told him, I was like, fool, I was like, when I used to skate, with fucking boards only had one tail. And I was like, now they have two fucking tails. You know? And it's crazy because he's all like, that's not the tail, that's the nose. And I'm just like, how do you know? They look the same to me, you know? Anyways, we went, I took him to the skate shop in Little Tokyo. And this was right before we opened, so like right before October. Mm-hmm. And we had already been thinking, like me and Maida had been thinking of like, you know, should we open only by appointment? You know, we had already, you know, we would come in and we, you know, make sure that the store was clean, you know, and you know, just being nostalgic inside the shop, you know, and we were debating whether to open or not or whether we would, you know, just do by appointment only, things like that, right? And so I take my son to the skate shop and we show up and the guy at the door is all like, only two people at a time. I already have two people inside. I was like, okay. You know, so we were waiting outside and, you know, folks come out and right before we walk in, he's like, here, I need to give you hand sanitizer and make sure that you put it on, make sure that you have the mask at all time. And I was like, okay. He's like, this way, if you want to look at a T-shirt or you want to see the board.
Oh, you can touch it.
It's been sanitized. Yeah. And we know that your hands are also sanitized now. And I was just like, oh, shit. So I called Maida and I was like, yo, you know what? We just came to the skate shop and this is how they're doing things. And I like that. I was like, maybe we could have a limited amount of people at the store where we're going to be comfortable. But at the same time, we make sure that they're sanitizing their hands before they walk in because we know that the shop's been sanitized. You know, when we close, we like clean the shop and like, you know, and we had been, you know, even getting product had been a little bit hard for us, right?
So
we had, for those 7 months, we were stocking up on like Lysol, Clorox wipes, all that stuff that we knew like, okay, that's for the shop, you know, with the radio in mind, with the store in mind, like, you know, and we installed a little hand sanitizer station inside the shop. We put the sort of like the plexiglass in front of the register.
Yeah. Which is pretty common in the hood when you think about it.
Yeah, which is, you know, now it's like something folks are used to in the hood. But, you know, I went out and I bought a little chain because inspired by that the skate shop. And so we were like, okay, you know, what's a good number? What are we going to feel comfortable with, you know? And we're just like, you know, five people at a time. The store is big enough for them to be like completely, you know, spaced out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remind them also, like, you know, to keep other folks in mind. Like, you know what, if you need to see a section, someone's there. Like, you know, just be mindful that someone's there and you don't know how they might, you know, feel. And so that's kind of like the reason why we, you know, we were debating on how to do it. And so we were like, okay, but our hours are limited. It's only Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yep.
Only five people in at a time. And that's way below, I think right now the city's recommending a 20%.
Yeah, yeah, the guidelines.
The guidelines for us was like, that's way below. Like, that's more like, for us, it's like a 5%, right? Like, depending, because, I mean, if you've been at an event in our shop, you see how many people were in here, mm-hmm. you know? So we're like, okay, five people in at a time. I have the little chain. We have the hand sanitizer. And that's, you know, what we could do.
We
could handle. And so that's sort of what, like, led us to decide that we could do this. Now, we know and understand that we, you know, and that was another thing. We said, like, okay, we're going to open. It was October was the eighth year anniversary of the shop. We're like, well, let's open up. Keep knowing that, I mean, we're like, we might only be open for 2-3 weeks. I mean, the way that things are going, you don't know.
Which is kind of like proving itself now, because now, like, the state and everybody's like saying, yeah, yo, stay the fuck home.
Yeah, now everybody's like, you know, stay home, you know.
Like, y'all fucked up. You had too much fun in the summer.
The numbers, I think initially 2 weeks ago was stores would be at a 25% capacity.
Yeah, you can still do outdoor dining, mm-hmm. all this stuff, yeah.
And then now it's like no more outdoor dining, and now stores should be at a, I think it's 10% capacity or 20%, somewhere around there.
Depending on the size. Which sucks, because, like, I mean, the shop is here, and we look across the street, and two restaurants, like, built basically extended patios.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's just going to sit there.
It is. And, you know, it's...
But that's also part of what got us to where we are now.
Yeah.
Because everybody was watching. I remember riding my bike and passing by and, like, seeing everybody just, like, watching Laker games. Like,
the celebration of Lakers and Dodgers was just, you know, was more than the community could handle, you know,
in terms of
pandemic, I guess you could say, right? Like, I mean, I was, you know, seeing some stories online where I was just like, yo, this is crazy. I went to go get... My mom needed to refill some medicine, and I went to
the Walgreens.
I went to the CVS on Chavez, and they're like, we don't have it, but they have it, you know. I was like, oh, they're going to send me to Monterey Park. They're like, no, they have it on the Whittier and Whittier Boulevard one on Atlantic.
The one in the old movie theater. Yeah.
And so we went over there to pick up the medicine. Crazy thing is that's when the Lakers won. And so fucking fireworks and everything, I had to come out through the back parking lot by the Tacos Mexico, and I was like, I'm out of here. It was insane. But I almost got caught up in that whole thing, because I think when I got home, there was the sheriffs had moved in, and you know, desmadre. Typical desmadre in a celebration.
Go home, get out of here. Yeah.
But, you know, so we're trying to do our part, understanding and knowing that, you know, I mean, we may have to close down again, you know, but we leave. And so we also have Thursday available for folks who feel more comfortable coming in by themselves.
I got to say, that's a unique experience, because after 7 months, I got a barbershop. I went to the barbershop to get a haircut.
Inside?
I was like, I can't stand my hair anymore. And it was just me and the dude. And I was like, wow, this is nice.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I cut my own hair. I don't even go into the salon.
Well, that's how long I go between haircuts, because I'm like, I can't go to like the señor anymore, because the señor got too old and my hair isn't even anymore.
Yeah, I mean, my hair is curly. This last time, the kids kept reminding me that I me trasquile. They're like, you left it too long on top. And I normally just do the tijera. And you can't tell because I have it's really curly, so you really can't tell where it's like, you know.
But I
used the machine this time, and it looks kind of like I went back to the 80s with the mushroom haircut, you know, or the 90s, early 90s.
You just wear a hat, man.
And but once again, it's curly, so you know, I put the product. I have this called curled activator, and it hides the trasquilado. but yeah, I still feel weird about going somewhere to, you know, indoors to cut my hair.
Nah, well, I don't know. It's yeah, everybody has their own comfort level.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah. And that's another thing that I've been talking to folks about. It's like, it's not even about what we believe or not. It's about having respect, you know, and understanding that, you know, different folks are at different levels of acceptance in terms of, like, you know, what might trigger anxiety, what might trigger, like, you know, nervousness, what might trigger, like, you know, anything. It's like, you have to keep that in mind as well. It's not just being, you know, and of course, Americana, like, that culture is like so selfish, right? Like, me first, you know. It's like, I don't want to wear a mask. It's like, well, yeah. It's not, you know, it's not about you, bro. It's about, you know, making sure that everyone around you is comfortable and we're all in this together. You're right. This might not help, you know. Yes, there's information, like all this, you know, but that's not really what this is about. This is about, like, you know, keeping other folks in mind, you know, and what might trigger them. And so if you really care about someone else, if you really care about community, you would do those things for, you know, for the sake of community. Now, if the community, if the community comes and says, like, we don't all believe in this shit, you know, then it's like, okay, well, then
I'm not going to that neighborhood.
Yeah. I'm out of here.
So with everything kind of going like on a case-by-case basis, playing it by ear, especially with like the city and everybody changing their minds and people deciding to challenge those like changes as things happen, you do have another art show coming up.
Well, the thing here is that the walls in Espacio, which have been, you know, I always say it's like we're not really a gallery. I mean, we have two walls in the back.
Yeah, you know.
But as an artist who grew up in the community that didn't have nowhere to exhibit, I understand the need for even one wall, you know, to be there. So there's two walls in the back, and we hadn't thought about doing art shows. Mm. As a matter of fact, we were closed when Rafa hit me up. And Rafa's all like, look, a friend of mine is leaving to France and we want to put an art show together amongst his friends as like sort of like, you know, a last show together before he leaves to France. I was wondering if we could use Espacio and I'll do it by appointment only. You know, and I was like, yeah, I mean, we're closed anyways. You know, I'll give you the keys. You know, you do the appointments. He's all like, it'll be 2 days. I was like, okay. As the date got closer, we ended up opening the shop.
Oh.
So I called Rafa and I was like, look, Rafa, I said, here's the deal. We have opened the doors to Espacio again, but we're only allowing 5 people in at a time. I know you were going to do appointment only, but, you know, maybe now, if for whatever reason there's more than 5 people that come at the same time, we could have like a little line before they walk in, you know. And I told them, I was like, we're hand sanitizing everyone before they come in. Yeah. Make sure they're wearing a mask. If people don't have masks, we have disposable ones here ready, you know, to give folks. And he's like, no, that's not a problem. It's not a problem at all. He was actually here when we opened up. And when we opened up again, we invited Latinx with Plants was out there.
Yeah, Vegan Moni.
Vegan Moni had set up. Cali Arte set up.
Yeah, know. Came by a print.
And so, you know, of course, they were separate. You know, like Latinx with Plants was closer to the tacos. Vegan Moni was closer to the corner. And then Cali Arte was like right in the front. And so as people were waiting, they, you know, they could go to these places. And Rafa's all like, well, what if we as artists, we have art prints and stuff like that. We sit up in the front as well. We'll space ourselves out. We'll, you know. And so that's sort of what happened. So we've been going, you know, it's kind of like, it's nothing pre-planned, like, hey, we're going to do this, or like, you know, it's falling into place. Nice. And so Cali was the thing with Cali Arte. I mean, they're like, we consider them family. And every December they have an art exhibit, a family art exhibit here at Espacio. They done it. And then, I don't know, for one reason, a December got booked that wasn't theirs. And then I was like, you know what? That's not going to happen again. So like from now on, every December is yours. And so this is like the third year in a row. It's, I think they've done the exhibit here like 4 years, but back to back, it's the third year in a row. And so I told them, I was like, yo, the walls are there. If you guys want to put up artwork, you know, people do come in. It's just not going to, we're just not going to be like an opening reception where like everyone's, you know, flooding in. I was like, the walls are there and, you know, your artwork could be up for the whole month. And so this is sort of the first time that we're going to have, ever since the pandemic, a show that like a curated show on the walls. And that's going to be up for the whole month. Now, you know, it's going to be up for the whole month. So if people want to just come and see the show, they don't necessarily have to come on the opening weekend. They could come later.
Yeah.
You know? And so,
yeah. Take your time.
Yeah. Take your time. We have 5 people, you know, coming in at a time.
Make a thing out of it. Come to the store. Take like 20 minutes to find parking. Get something to eat.
And you know, and that's where we're at. You know, I mean, how are things going to play out now? We don't know.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that on the way over here, right? Because I heard, I guess the state of California lost the case with the restaurants, right? Like they can't prove, you know, that people are getting COVID there.
So they have, they were mad. Yeah. So basically, restaurants are like, fuck you, we're going to stay open.
Yeah. I mean, just like they couldn't prove that OJ really killed his wife. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, because it's in the courts, that's what it comes down to, right? Like you have to prove it. You have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. But with that being said, I wonder if more restaurants on our block are going to be defiant.
Mm.
You know, because that's another thing, right? I get it.
The need is there.
I get it as in a sense of like your whole investment and as a business person, like, you know, you could lose this and no one, like fucking politicians ain't stepping in. Like they're not even trying to help, you know? And so you see the frustration, you see where it's coming, you know, from and all that. And so I'm just wondering what are folks going to do? You know, I know for us, we're not going to be careless. Like, we're not going to be like, oh, fuck it. You know, California lost. Like, fucking, you know, we're going to let, you know, 25 people in. No, because that's not, you know. But I'm just wondering about other places, like other restaurants.
You can't
like,
help to, right? Yeah, they're so right
I'm just,
there.
I'm just wondering, like, you know, are those things going to change? Because, you know, this weekend, we opened the shop. It was the block is pretty much dead. There's,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, we normally get lunch across the street at Casa Fina. And I was like, oh, shit, they're closed. Like, where are we going to get lunch? And then the tacos were closed on Saturday, too. I'm just like, you know, fucking pack some tortas next time I come, you know, because yeah, well, everything's closed.
Gyms is always open somehow.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it is. But then fries are extra, extra greasy, you
extra
know?
Frozen yeah. Sometimes, too. Shit.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I think. That's the thing is the uncertainty right now is we don't know, right?
Nobody does, yeah.
Even for ourselves, we were thinking like, you know, is next weekend going to be our last weekend that we're open? You know, we got to go base 2 on the numbers, our safety, all that. So we take all that into consideration too.
Pretty much how y'all decided in March is like, you know what? Let's just close down and play it safe and keep everybody safe.
So that's where we're at right now. We're on a week to week basis. At this moment, you know, and you know, and we are completely grateful with those people who have supported, you know, and And it's sort of like that picture that's floating around, right? Like, support doesn't necessarily mean financially. Like, you know, even just a repost or even just a mention, anything, you know.
Telling people about it,
telling people about us, you know, like those sort of things, you know, go a long way for small businesses.
Well, speaking of, folks can still buy stuff from the store online, whatever is listed up
limited,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for now, yeah, the hours are listed on the Instagram. Thursdays, if you feel the need to make an appointment, hit them up, or just come through on Friday through Sunday.
Yeah. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're open. First come, first serve, 5 people at a time. And Thursdays, if you feel more comfortable being in here by yourself, you know, hit us up, send us a DM, and schedule an appointment, and we'll do it.
Yeah, and I mean, y'all have restocked. I mean, every time I've come here, I left with something. Yeah, I was like, damn, it's not just books and shirts and lapel pins and earrings and that kind of stuff. Like I came in like after y'all reopened, I was like, dang, and like y'all really like went out and got like a bunch of new stuff.
Yeah, there's stuff that we had already reordered or placed orders on that came in while we were closed. There's stuff that is gradually like reopening that we're able to reorder, and so yeah, that's what I'm saying is that our website, you know, is not, you know, what our store is. Like, you walk in here and it's a whole different experience, right? From the music that's coming out of the speakers to the artwork that's on the walls to the stuff that's everywhere, right? Like, you know, from the leather purses and wallets and t-shirts and, you know, everything, right? Like, from books, like just the amount of books that we have, you know, the selection, like the way Myra has been curating.
Yeah.
You know, and so all that stuff is just, it's a whole different vibe when you come to the shop as opposed to you seeing the website, just like, ah.
Well, let me propose this. And especially to folks listening, if you know somebody, would you be open to talking to somebody who, like, that's their jam? Like, helping businesses get their stuff online, like, you know, itemize, you know, their inventory, streamline their website, all that good stuff.
I mean, I think that it's so, here's the deal with the reason why we don't do the books online. So the reason why we don't do the books online is because
the shipping
one, yeah. Two is all the, you know, there's already a price set for the books
that, so, yeah, you can't really like finagle that.
Yeah. So realistically, and because we're buying from these companies, there's only a certain amount of money that you can make as a bookseller.
Yeah, it's a thin margin.
I think it's like a 30 to 40%.
Oh, and you would lose that right away with like paying for shipping materials and for shipping. Yeah.
So if you're only making 30 to 40%, right? And then you have to pay for the shipping and you have to pay for the shipping materials and all that stuff. It's like, you know, and then you have these big corporations that just fucking, you know, they, for whatever reason, they get the books a lot cheaper because they're ordering these huge amounts. So then, like, you know, there's also that in there, right? And then the accessories, it becomes a little harder for us because we're not a huge store. So we'll order, like, from, you know, we'll order from people. Let's take, for example, the oils that we sell from, like, Daisy and stuff like
handmade
that.
Handmade oils.
Handmade oils, right? She brings a limited amount because she's hand-making them. And so we put them up on the website and they're sold out, then people are like, yo, it's sold out. Like, why can't I get it? Like, you know, or or if I type in the wrong number, right? Like, we only had 3.
Oh.
Or let's say we only have 3, but they're here in the store and I put them up on the website and I forget to, like, link up.
Or update it or do something. You forget something.
You know, our point of sale system to the website, and then somebody buys it at the same time that somebody has it in their hand already and then pays for it here. And now I'm like, I don't have it. So there's all these little things that, you know, because we can't invest, you know, and of course she's making, you know, Daisy's making it. So I could be like, yo, Daisy, I sold one online.
And
I didn't notice we didn't have the inventory. She'll be like, okay, but it it's gonna take me a month to, like, you know, this is not oil that I'm just, like, you know, fucking pouring in there. Like, it's a process to make this oil.
Well, that speaks to a lot of what y'all have at the store. It's handmade. It's original.
So a lot of the stuff is, we might not be able to get it, and, you know, and sometimes that plays a role where if we have inventory here, and then somebody buys it online, it'll show that the inventory is not there online, but somebody could already be in the store walking with it in their hand towards the register. You know, there's all these little things. That's what makes it a little bit more complicated.
Honestly, that's just frustrating because it's just y'all two holding down the store.
Yeah.
So to be physically here, you know, the days of the week you need to be here, and then maintaining merchandise and cleaning things and... Yeah,
it's got to be something you love. One, two is we know that we are super blessed to be able to do something that we love. Like we're working, we're doing something that we love, you know, and we have that freedom too to, like, you know, if we want to do something, you know, we could take a day or two. You're in charge of that. You know what I'm saying? So we know that we are blessed doing what we're doing. It is a lot of work and it is a lot of responsibility, but because we love doing it, I guess that's why too, it sort of, you know.
Okay, yeah.
But once you break it down, it might seem stressful for other folks, you know, but we love doing what we're doing.
So. Yeah, so I mean, if you did want to buy something, your best bet would be to buy in person. But the stuff you do have online is the kind of stuff that's easy to, like, ship out.
Like the t-shirts, the mask, you know, not all t-shirts are up, you know what I'm saying? Some stuff we're able to, like, if we don't make the t-shirt, we're able to talk to the people where it's like, yeah, we're gonna have full inventory. Mm-hmm. Like, so if you need one, don't worry about it, we'll get it to you right away, that way you can fulfill the order, you know. Same thing with the mask, you know. So it's one of those things where, like, the stuff that we do have online is we know we're going to be able to do to ship. Even if, like, for example, we don't have none, we have access to it. The other stuff, it gets a little more tricky. But we do. I mean, that's sort of, okay, I'm telling you that, which is true. But then in the back of my mind, sometimes I'll use that as an excuse not to have the website with more stuff, because I could have the website.
Well,
with more
stuff. You're being realistic. Like, this is as much as I can handle.
Pretty much. That's really what it comes down to. At the point, that's as much as I could handle. And we even talked about it. Like, before we opened up, I was like, what if we go live inside the shop and then people could DM us and be like, you know, hey, there was a purse there that's not on your website, but I seen it. How much? And we could, like, do it like that and then ship it to them. So we were even thinking of doing, like, a virtual, like, you know, a day where like, we're walking around the store and people could, like, hey, I seen something on the video and I want to purchase it.
Yeah.
You know, so there's things like that. But there is also the understanding that there is other stuff that we could put up. Like, for example, the sweaters, they're not up.
Sweater season, man.
They should be up. Tote bag. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we should have up. And so, yes.
Just a matter of time.
Yes. I know. So if you're frustrated and you're mad, yes, it's me. I'm sorry.
Where's my order?
I'm sorry. No, but I mean, in terms of orders, like, we ship them. We've been shipping them out as fast as we turn for, like, crazy. Like, it didn't have the it didn't have an apartment number when it was an apartment building, or the zip code. The zip code was missing one number. Things like that.
Or and even that's, just like the person themselves. Like this morning when I was on my way over here, they delivered a bunch of packages to my place, but they were for my neighbor because we share the same number, but I'm in the half.
Oh, okay.
You know, things like that.
So things like that. I mean, you know, we are human, and there is errors where, like, I forget to type in a zip code. Or, like, I don't know if it's my age. I've been mixing the numbers.
I mean, you said it. You're not computer literate.
Yeah. You know, so, but other than that, I mean, mostly everyone does get their package. There's probably, like, one or two that'll be like, where's my package?
Well,
it's understandable.
That's also part of the culture that for a lot of us, Amazon, like, trained us to, like, free shipping and I want my shit now.
like next day or same day delivery. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. It's,
I mean,
it's,
if you want same day, come to the store.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. But no, I think, you know, coming to the store is a whole different experience. And I get it. A lot of folks are not, you know, near LA or, you know, we've been doing a lot of shipping to like out of state, which we're super, you know, thankful for. So, you know, we also owe it to them to like have more stuff available online.
Step by step.
We're working on it. Yeah, we're working on it. We're conscious that we need to do that and we're working on that. So.
Well, that's pretty much it. You know, the last question I had is like, what's in store for the future? And you basically answered it. You don't know.
We don't know.
We're just taking it day by day.
We're taking it day by day. We've been taking it day by day since we opened. You know, a lot of people don't, you know, when we opened 8 years ago, that was one thing that we opened in October and we had enough money to cover, you know, November and December. Mm-hmm. And we've been here 8 years now. And so it goes back to the story that we were talking about earlier. It's just about getting started, you know, believing in yourself and then, you know, allowing it to just, you know, go one step at a time.
Yeah.
But now, especially now with this pandemic, like we honestly don't know. I mean, right now we're at a week-to-week basis. And, you know, we'll see. You know?
And we didn't even talk about that, where y'all are like in the same boat as a lot of small businesses and communities like this. Did you all like try applying for like PPP loans, all that stuff like
you know
the
what?
Feds and the state was putting out?
It's crazy because honestly, I didn't like as soon as the whole loan thing turned me off. Like I was like, that just we're gonna go further into debt.
Yeah,
and it's crazy
because
that's the first thing that people ask is like, you know, did you get the loan? And I'll be like, no, because it's a loan. Like I don't want to go further into that. They're like, yeah, but most of them are forgiven. You know, like they're, you know, they're,
you don't know that.
We didn't know that. Like, do you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, what? I'm just you don't know that.
It's not. That's not like I'm right there with you. I'm not like gonna or jump an opportunity to take out a loan and be
and
in
then
debt.
If they fucking knew they were gonna do that, why didn't they say, hey, we're gonna give out money to small businesses, right?
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's a loan. Like, so half of us are like, fuck, I'm not gonna take a loan. I had a friend who did get the loan, and he was like, oh, the rate is really low, and I have up to 30 years. I'm just like, bro,
years.
You know, it's like, I don't want to be stressed out fucking 25 years down the road and be like, hey, fool, you know what I'm saying? Like, during the pandemic, you know, we fucking loan you, and you never know what the fine print, right? Like
not with this fucking loony bin the administration.
I'm traumatized with the fucking, you know, it's like I remember getting my first and fucking one of my last credit cards that I got, right? Like you don't read the fine print.
Mm-hmm.
And one late payment just fucks up your interest and all that, you know, it's I'm like so as
gotcha.
as soon as we heard loan, we were like, you know, we weren't interested. I mean, we found out later that, you know, you didn't have to pay some of those loans back. But then we also read later that the majority of the folks that got those loans were like these fucking corporate, you know, like these corporate restaurants, like food chains, like, you know. And
they
so,
have the means to do the legalese and the paperwork to get that shit.
You know? And so it's you know, small businesses end up losing out, you know. So for us, no, we never did any of those loans. We didn't apply for anything, you know, when folks, you know, reached out, like, you know, Jessica, Chicano Batman, Eloms, Boyle Heights Bridge Runners, we're super grateful for that.
Yeah.
You know, but we also know, like, you know, que le tenemos que chingar. Like, there's more things that we could do. And so we're ready to continue doing that and continue building. And the sad part is that a lot of these small businesses, you know, I feel like I'm computer illiterate. I was reading an article with a small shop in Chinatown where they didn't even have social media.
No, like this is just,
you know,
OG.
And so yeah, so they're you know, and they're really suffering, you know, because they don't even have that. They don't even have
a lot of restaurants going through that,
you know. And so we know that we're fortunate that, you know, we're in a situation where we've been able to survive those 7 months that we were closed, and now we're a little bit open. I think now we're being a little more cautious too of what we reinvest and what we don't reinvest in at the moment.
As a shop.
As a shop, you know, saving a little cushion if we're going to, eventually have to close down for another, month, 2 months, 3 months. We don't know. So those are the things that we know that we're blessed at the moment.
Yeah.
And we know that other people are going through a difficult time, So yeah, I think, if you have the means to support, local shops, family that's out there hustling, family that's doing their thing, like, do it. And like I said earlier, it's not about a financial support. It's also about, like, tagging them, helping them,
mm-hmm,
get the
mm-hmm.
word out, and it goes a long way.
It does. So, with that being said, if you aren't already, you can follow them on Instagram, Espacio1839. Once in a while, you log into the Twitter. There's also a Twitter.
There's a Twitter.
There's a Facebook page.
There's these things that people told me, like, you should get a Twitter for the store. Like, okay. I mean, no one ever fucking checks in, but, we have it.
It's there.
Whenever we figure it out, it's there.
You have it there. That's a good thing already, because I'll usually tag it when, like, a reporter or somebody's looking for, like, where's a small business I can talk to? And like that. But, yeah, no, I mean, it makes a big difference to, support your local community store. If you're going to go eat at a restaurant, please avoid those ridiculous apps and try to phone it in, or, if you have the time, maybe wait, like, 15, 20 minutes to place the order and wait for it and take it to go.
Yep.
It goes a long way.
It does. It does go a long way. And, like, once again, thank you for anybody that's been, supporting. I know we don't, we're not in the front. Like, me and Mayra are not the type to be, like, on the social media and being like, hey, yo, it's us, the owners here, and a lot of people have said, like, people want to see that. And we just feel weird about it.
Yeah. You're in a different age group.
Yeah, I think we are. I think we're in a different age group where we're just like, no.
That feels very weird to me.
Yeah, to be like, yo, hey, what's up?
Checkale, look at what we Somos have for
nosotros,
say.
The owners of Espacio coming at you. It's like, it's just very weird, People even, like, when people ask, like, who's the owners? I'll be like, oh, they're not in right now. It just depends on who it is, Like, if there's... Like, if I don't know them, I'm just like, oh, I don't know. I'll let them know.
Yeah. So, dude, thanks again, Nico, for making the time and opening up Espacio to come into the studio to record this. Like I said, you're the last person I'll most likely be interviewing in 2020.
Thank you. Thank you for reaching out. For us, we're not there in the front, we're always down to, like, if there's something over, like this. We could plug in over the radio, like, if people could, see the sort of, like, the behind of, like, what Espacio is. And we thank you. Thank you for giving us that opportunity to be able to sit down here and chat with you.
Of course. So thanks again, everybody, for listening. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. Be safe out there. Like, really be safe, because too many people have been, like, getting sick, and I'm just, like, out there sending all the vibes. So be safe and take care of each other. And we'll see you in 2021. So peace out.
Orale, boy, whites.